I'd ask you to turn your Bible with me here this morning, if you would please, to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 1. And we'll stand for the reading of God's Word here this morning. The title of the message will come not as a direct quote from the verse, but based upon the subject matter of the verse. The Word of God says here, just this one verse, Proverbs 14, verse 1, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." The title of the message here this morning, "The Wise Woman and Her House." The Wise Woman and Her House. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll proceed with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would guide us now here this morning as we look into the Word of God and as we consider the truth that is presented to us here in this verse and its extended or related truths in other places throughout the book of the Proverbs. Pray, Lord, that You would very much guide our thoughts and guide our direction, and that You would allow, especially on this day, Mother's Day, for the message of the Word of God to the ladies to be taken to heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this verse, and it's so common to so many of the Proverbs, we have just two basic lines of truth. We have one line, every wise woman buildeth her house. And then the second line, "the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." We have also in this particular proverb, some proverbs are proverbs that compare two things. Some proverbs in the two lines. So you have a line that is given and it's some kind of a descriptive. And then you'll have a second line and that becomes a comparative to the first line. And some of the Proverbs are that way. That's not so much the case in this proverb. Sometimes the Proverbs are building Proverbs. The first line gives a truth, and the second line then builds upon the first line. So it adds truth to the first. So the first kind of lays a type of foundation, and the second builds the house. You have a building type process. But many of the Proverbs have more this form, and that is a contrast formula. You have one thing communicated, and then in contrast, you have something else communicated. So a truth about one side, and then in contrast, a truth about the opposite side. They're not always put in the same order, as in first a truth about the positive, and then a truth about the negative. Sometimes it's the truth about the negative, and then in contrast, an opposite truth about the positive. But in this case, we do have a contrasting proverb. We have a proverb that gives us two lines of truth, which is very common in the Proverbs. As you get later on in the Proverbs, there's some addition or where you have, instead of two lines of truth, you may have two full verses or three full verses of truth. And so those add more truths upon it. But many of the Proverbs, starting in chapter 10 and extending through to about chapter 20, 22, somewhere in that range, you have single individual proverbs, and most of them are two-line statements. Most of them are two-line statements about two basic truths. Truths of comparison, truths building upon one another, or truths of contrast. And here we have two truths of contrast. Obviously, we know the subject matter of this passage, wherein it says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands." And so we have two contrasting groups here. We have the wise woman on one side, and we have the foolish woman on the other side. We also do not just have a descriptive of the wise woman and the foolish woman in this proverb, but we have a descriptive of their relationship in each case, their relationship to a particular body of individuals. Every wise woman buildeth what? Her house. But the foolish woman, it doesn't add the word woman, but that's the intention of the statement, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Plucketh what down? Her house. All right? So what we have here in this proverb is a contrasting statement, two truths of contrast, one to the other, about women and their relationship to their household. And so I present to you, as I already have, the title of the message, The Wise Woman and Her House. To begin this morning, I would present to you the first principle of truth from this verse that we can glean, and that's the principle of classification. The principle of classification. We do have in this verse, as I've already mentioned, a contrast between two truths, or further to get deeper, a contrast between two classified groups of individuals, right? We have on the one hand, I've already mentioned it, the wise woman, or it says every wise woman. So who all is included in this? It's the whole classification, the whole group of wise women in the world. And then on the other side, you have but the foolish, and this would include anyone who's not in the other category. So it will be all foolish women. I realize it focuses on one as a representative of the group, but we have on the one side the classification of the wise women in the world, and on the other side, we have the classification of the foolish women in the world. Let me also present to you under this principle of classification that this is a classification in God's Word. Amen? And as a classification in God's Word, we must take up God's definition of terms. When I say over here is the classification, the category of every wise woman, has the world down through history used the term wise woman in a different way than God does? At times, at least. Sure. Down through history, there's different ways that are used, even in fiction writing and so forth. The term, she's a wise woman. A wise woman sometimes was even classified for a woman who was involved in things that God would clearly disapprove. But this is in God's Word. And so it is God Himself and God's own definition from God's own Word that must apply to this classification. As we consider the classification of the wise women over here, and it's every one of them, every single one is included in this classification. Everyone that would be defined by God's definition of a wise woman is in this category. And on the other hand, it's God's definition of foolish. Now, we could do in a very extended study throughout the book of Proverbs, especially throughout the Bible, but especially in the book of Proverbs, do we not encounter the idea of the wise individual and the foolish individual all throughout this book? And we could start in Proverbs chapter 1 and go to Proverbs chapter 31, and we could look at every statement made in the book of Proverbs about the individual who's wise versus the individual who's foolish, and it would in fact apply to these two classifications. Now, we don't have the time to do that entire 31 chapter study this morning. Amen? Aren't you glad I'm not even planning to attempt it? I'm not planning to attempt it. Some of you are getting hungry already, and you're thankful that I'm not planning to attempt it, all right? But you could do that if you wanted to sit down and say, how does God define the category of the wise, and how does God define the category of the foolish? You don't even have to leave the book of Proverbs. Sit down sometime with your Bible, open it to the book of Proverbs, start in chapter 1, and take like a book, like a notebook, and open it up, and have the page on one side and a blank page on the other side, so you have two blank pages. And don't do it, you know, back to back this way. Do it like this, so that you can look at the comparisons. And on, start over here, Proverbs chapter 1, start it off, Proverbs chapter 1, and every statement that's made about a wise individual, the wise man, the wise person, whatever it is, put down how God defines that class. And then over here, do this study and do the same thing. Everyone defined as foolish. And put down a listing and just list them down. How does God define that class? Now, in our day and time, let me also mention to you. So first, you need to understand in this principle of classification that God's Word, this proverb in God's Word, classifies all the women in the world into two classes. Wise or foolish. Number two, the second thing that we understand from this principle of classification is it's God's definition of the classification. God's definition. We don't get to decide who's wise and who's not wise. The proverb, the truth of the proverb, is not based upon our perception of wise or foolish. The truth of this proverb is based upon God's perception of wise and foolish. Amen? And then number three, I want you to also understand from this principle of classification that we live in a time where people will say, hey, you don't have the right to judge me. Because understand, if I walk up to someone, or let's do it differently, if this proverb were to step out of the page of this book and become an individual, represented as an individual, and the book of Proverbs does that, doesn't it? All right? So if this one proverb were to step off the page of God's Word and walk through this room, or walk through this community, or walk through this state, or walk through this country, and begin to say, foolish, wise, 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 foolish, 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 foolish. There's probably more on this side, but no, I'm not making this the foolish side versus, but, I don't want y'all, way to go. Jan was already starting, I could see it. She was like, wait a second here. Okay, but if this proverb were to step off the page and begin to actually point out who's classed in which category, would we not find in our day and time a whole lot of individuals saying, who are you to judge me? Now, probably not the ones in the wise class, but the ones over in the foolish class, would they not get fired up about that? But I wish to point out to you that it is God's Word doing the judging. And it is God Himself doing the judging. And whether people in this world like it or not, whether you like it or not, every single day of your life, God is judging you. I don't mean He's pouring out judgments on you. I mean every day of your life, every day of your life, God is watching you, and every day of your life, as He watches you, He is judging. That's right, that's wrong. That's right. That's wrong. He does not sit in heaven and go, well, I just can't judge anybody. I don't want to offend anybody, so I just don't make any judgments about anybody. I'm sorry, God's not worried about offending you. And every day of your life and every day of my life, God is making judgments about us. Isn't He? And God Himself sits in heaven, and this verse provides one of His standards of wise and foolish. He sits in heaven and He says, wise, foolish, foolish, wise. Notice how I flipped it so that you all felt like I'm an equal opportunity offender. Okay? Wise, foolish, 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 foolish. Remember, there's more on the foolish side, so everything's flipped now. Trying to be careful. My mother-in-law's on that side. But you know how it works. And God is not shy to make those classifications. He's not bothered by people. And do we have a lot of foolishness going on in our country today? And in this particular case, do we not even have a lot of foolishness going on with the women of our country today? By the way, we have a lot of foolishness among the men of our country today as well. But this passage is talking about foolish and wise women. The principle of classification. And you may be able to silence people. Don't you judge me. You can silence people. You cannot stop God. In every moment of every day, He is making judgment. Number two, let me give you a second principle from this verse. Not only do we have the principle of classification, but we also have the principle of consequence. The principle of consequence. I want you to see this. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house. So the classification is what? The class of wise. What's the consequence? She builds her house. Over here we have the opposite. But the foolish... Here's the classification of the foolish women. And then it says, plucketh it down with her hands. This principle of consequence, I want you to understand, is a reality that cannot be escaped. It's a reality that cannot be escaped. It's like the principle that God's Word says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's an established principle of God in the world, and there is no escape from it. What does it mean? So we have this as a principle, a reality that cannot be escaped. So let's then understand, in the second place, the meaning of this. And the meaning is this. A woman's character will affect her household. A woman's character will affect her household. And it's a reality that you cannot escape. Whatever your character is, by the way, I realize on Mother's Day you preach toward the women, and this verse is clearly focused toward the women. There's no doubt about that in this verse. But a man's character will affect his household too. Amen? Is that not true? It certainly is. But with the message and its focus, Proverbs 14 verse 1, this verse teaches us that a woman's character affects her household. Every single day it affects her household. Every day. Whatever her character is, she cannot prevent it. Some woman might say, well, I know my character is not what it ought to be, but I'll hide that from my children and I'll hide that from my husband. And when I'm interacting with the household, I'll behave one way, but in my heart, I'll be a different way, or in private, I'll be a different way. No, it doesn't work like that. This is a reality that cannot be escaped. And whatever your character is, whatever it is, it will affect your household. Third thing I would have you to understand. Your character is the reality of your heart. A lot of times we say our character is our behavior. Listen, your behavior may reveal what your character is, but your character does not start with your behavior. Your character starts with your heart, and your behavior flows out of it. In a sense, your behavior is a symptom of your character. Your behavior is not your character. Your behavior is what flows from your character and reveals your character. But your character is a matter of your heart. So what, if we put it together now, these three things together now, this is what we understand. It's a reality that you cannot escape, that whatever your heart character, it will affect your household. Whatever your heart character will affect your household. And it's a reality you cannot escape. What does the Bible say? Every wise woman. That's a pretty universal statement, isn't it? Every wise woman. Sometimes people tell me in the book of Proverbs we have exceptions to the rule. We have the rule and then exceptions. Man, I don't know how you come up with an exception to the word every. So maybe you can play that with me with other Proverbs, but I have a hard time with this one. The Bible says every wise woman does what? Builds her house. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And that's where I want you to see this final kind of bringing it all together under this principle, the principle of consequence. The reason this principle of consequence works this way is because every woman engages with her household. Right? Every woman is involved with her household in one form or another. She communicates, she engages through her manner of treatment, through her manner of attitude, she engages through the way she works, what she doesn't do in the home. All of those things, the relationships, the responsibilities, the regard, the respect, all of those forms that are engaged in her household, she is a person that engages with her household. And whatever her character is, that's what engages her household. And with her own hands, it's not saying, this verse is not saying that the foolish woman walks into her household with the motive to tear it down. I want to tear down my household. That's not the point. The point of this verse is this. If your character is biblically wise, then just by doing what you do in your household, because it will be rooted in a wise character, you'll build. You'll build. Now, I dare to say every woman wants to build her home, not tear it down. But the foolish woman, no matter what effort she puts into it, only tears down. Why? Because it's her motive to tear down? No. It's probably her motive, just like any other woman's motive, to build up. But she actually doesn't know how. Not to do it right. Because her own character is affecting everything that she does. Everything. The wise woman, everything she does, every relationship, the words she speaks, the manner of communication, her attitudes, her work ethic, all of those things will build and build and build, will develop her household. But the foolish woman, and it's a reality that cannot be escaped. The biblically defined foolish woman, everything she does, the words that come out of her mouth, her communications, her relationships, her attitudes, her work ethic, all of those things, just simply because her character is not right, will result in a tearing down of her household rather than a building up. In a destruction of her household rather than the development. Now, did you follow me? It's a truth that cannot be escaped. Every woman, her character will affect her household. Every woman, her character will affect her household. And her character is based upon her heart. The consequences that will come forth will be based upon your heart character. But that brings us to a third principle. And this one probably will be the longest of all of them because there's some subpoints underneath it. I know there were subpoints under the others, but those were like explanation subpoints. These are official subpoints, all right? The third thing I would present to you, we had the principle of classification and the principle of consequence. Now I present to you the principle of character. Because isn't that really the core to this verse? There's classifications. God says wise and foolish. How does God define wise and foolish? Based upon character. God defines wise and foolish based upon the character of the heart. He does it based on character. There's consequences revealed in this verse. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. But what is it about the woman's effect on her family that either builds up or tears down, that either develops or destroys? What is it about her? It's her character. The core to this verse is the character of the woman. That's the core to this truth, the core to this verse, the core to this comparison, the core to this contrast is all about the character of the two different classes of women, all about the character that affects and brings forth the consequences upon their home. So what I'd like to do for the remainder of our time, I'm not going to focus on. The title of the message was not the wise or foolish woman and their house. It was the wise woman and her house. So for the remainder of our time, I'd like to focus just on the wise woman in the book of Proverbs and present to you a handful of characteristics that are true of the wise woman, the one that builds her house, the one that develops her house, the one wherein her character is right with God, and God, because of her right character of heart, would classify her as the wise woman. And being of such character, everything that she does in her home will bring forth development, a building up rather than a tearing down and a destruction. Number one, she is a godly woman. She is a godly woman. Look with me, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 31. In a message like this, in the book of Proverbs, it's almost inevitable that you'll end up in Proverbs 31 for a few points anyway. Proverbs 31, verse number 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that... Help me out here. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now notice this. There's a connection between her character of fearing the Lord and that which she does with her hands. Remember Proverbs 14, verse 1? Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. With her personal activities, with her own activities, she tears it down. Well, the wise woman with her own hands, with her own activities, she builds it up. And why does she do that? Because she's a godly woman. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. What will it be? A building up. A development of her household. Give her the fruit of her hands. Why? Because being a wise woman, being a godly woman, she builds. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Verse 28 and 29, talking about praising her. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. She's a godly woman. Go back to Proverbs chapter 9 with me. Proverbs chapter 9. I want you to understand a few things about the fear of the Lord. Said she's a godly woman. The verse itself says she's a woman that fears the Lord. That's the essence of godliness in the book of Proverbs. An individual that fears the Lord, the essence of godliness in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 16 makes this statement. It says, by me princes rule. That is not the verse I want. Oh, I was reading 8. So 9:16 might be the verse I want. 8:16 is not the verse I want. 9:16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, nope, that is not the one either. What did I do? It sure looks like a 6. That's because my 0 looks like a 6. Yeah, Miss Barb probably would mark me off for bad penmanship. All right, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know what that verse is telling us? In the book of Proverbs, according to God's classification, you can't be a wise woman if you don't walk in the fear of the Lord. It's not even possible. Because what's the very foundation? What's the very beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. By the way, it's not just the foundation. You don't just fear the Lord initially, lay the foundation and it's over. Just like in our Christian lives, you're not walking right with God just because you trusted Him as Savior. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You laid the foundation of a walk of faith, but that doesn't mean that you automatically have the walk of faith. You need to add to your faith according to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, right? Amen? The walk of faith needs to grow and continue. And so the fear of the Lord lays the foundation, but it does more than that. Turn with me, if you would, now to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 33. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. We're told not only that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but we're also told that the fear of the Lord is the very instruction of wisdom. So it lays the foundation, the fear of the Lord does, but it also builds the house. Proverbs 15 and verse number 33, the Word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction, not just the beginning, but the continuance, the continuing instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, a woman who walks in the fear of the Lord, a godly woman, is one that puts God first. In everything, God is first. God's Word comes first. God's Word is something that she loves, something that she adores, something that she hungers after and treasures in her life. A woman cannot be classed as a wise woman if she's not a godly woman. And a woman cannot be classed as a godly woman if she doesn't walk in the fear of the Lord, putting God's Word first. Number two, not only is God's Word first, but God's will is first. Amen? God's will is first. You know, naturally, we are built in our sin nature, naturally, we are built to want to put our will first. Every day we fight. If we're going to do things right, we fight to push our will down and say, God first, others first, my husband first, my children first, my neighbor first, my coworker first, that utter stranger first. But certainly all of that will come if God is first. Well, we have to fight every day to make that happen. Because every day of our lives, there is that drive within us to put ourselves first. My will. Most days of our lives, we are not behaving the way Jesus quoted. Not my will, but thine be done. Most days of our lives, the way we live is not your will, but mine be done. Right? So many days of our lives. But we have to continually deal with that. And a godly woman is one that says, God's will first. And whenever my will rises up, I will tear it down and get God's will back on the throne. It's not my life. It's not my way. It's God's way. It's God's life. He bought me with a price. God's will is first. God's word is first. God's will is first. Let me present to you a third thing, a godly woman, a woman who walks in the fear of the Lord. God's Word, God's will, and God's walk. Or should I say it this way, a walk with God comes first. The Word of God, the will of God, a walk with God comes first. She's more concerned about her walk with God than she is about anything else in her life. Anything else. Her walk with God comes first. Now let me say it again. We come back to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 1. And God Himself is the one classifying all women. He's saying there's the wise women and the foolish. God Himself is the one declaring the truth. By character, a wise woman by character, whatever she puts her hand to, she will build. But a foolish woman by character, whatever she puts her hand to, will destroy. And that means that a wise woman, as she puts her hand and her relationship in her home, she will build it up. She will develop it in a right way. But a foolish woman, just simply because of the character of her heart, she will tear down her house and she will bring destruction into it. And you say, well, what's a wise woman look like versus what's the foolish woman look like? And I say to you, God's Word teaches us, number one, that the wise woman is a godly woman. She's a woman that fears the Lord. She's a woman that puts God's Word and God's will and a walk with God first. You cannot be classified biblically, according to the book of Proverbs, you cannot be classified as a wise woman if you're not a godly woman. You cannot be classified as a godly woman if you're not walking in the fear of the Lord. Number two. Second thing I present to you, that a wise woman by character will be a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. We all are familiar probably with that verse in Proverbs 31 that says that that a virtuous woman is above rubies. Her price is far above rubies. But I want you to look at a different verse with me. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 12 in verse number 4, the Word of God says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, I wanted to read both sides of the verse. We're not going to spend the majority of our time on the second half, the negative side of that contrasting verse, but rather the majority of our time on the first half. The virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The virtuous woman is the godly woman. The virtuous woman, the godly woman, is the wise woman. She's the one that not only builds up her husband, as this verse declares, but builds up her entire household. She's a woman of virtue. What does that mean? Well, first I'd present to you that virtuousness flows out of godliness. Virtuousness flows out of godliness because virtuousness, being virtuous, is defined as putting what is right first. Giving your all to do what's right. Being utterly motivated to walk in what's right. Well, where do we learn what's right? From God's Word. What will guide us in what's right? God's will. How will we stay walking in the right and growing in what's right? A walk with God. You might say it this way, godliness, walking in the fear of the Lord, is putting the Word of God, the will of God, and a walk with God first. Virtuousness is then taking that up and putting it forth in a practical way of behavior and putting the ways of God first. Because the ways of God are in all righteousness and goodness and truth. That's being virtuous. Virtuousness is saying, okay, the Word of God says, the will of God is, my walk with God requires, I will do God's way. Ah, but virtue is not always the character of God's people. Not always. How many times throughout the Word of God did God come to His own people and say, here's the right way, walk in it? And how many times did they refuse? Well, the reason that they refused, the reason that they were not virtuous in doing God's way is because they were not godly in the character of their heart. They weren't putting God first. When you put God first, then God's ways will be first. But when God Himself is not first, His Word, His will, a walk with Him is not first, then God's ways will be set aside so you can do your own thing and go your own way. Come up with your own plan. Follow your own philosophy of life. What pleases you will matter more than what pleases Him. She's a virtuous woman. Let me say it again in this principle as I did in the previous. If you're going to build up your house, you need to be classed as a wise woman, but you cannot be classed as a wise woman if you're not classed as a virtuous woman. You cannot be if you're not classed as a godly woman. You cannot be if you're not classed as a virtuous woman in your character. But number three, let me present to you a third one. She is a respectful woman. A respectful woman. Specifically, I'm talking about, and it could be in general, you could take this generally, she's respectful to all, but more specifically, she's respectful in her place and relationship to her husband. Now, I know some of the women here in the room are not married, in which case you wouldn't have that responsibility. But those who are, what does the Word of God say? Well, we just looked there at Proverbs 12 and verse 4. What does it say? A virtuous woman, so we have that aspect of her character, is a crown to her husband. Look at another verse with me, Proverbs 31, back there again. Proverbs 31. We're familiar with the verse, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. But look at the next verse. Verse number 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And why can he safely trust in her? Because she's trustworthy toward him. Look at verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What's her viewpoint toward her husband? Who does she live for? In her marriage, who does she live for? She lives for her husband. We do not live in a time that believes that way. We do not. In fact, much of what you see in the world around us today, a woman's view, if she's married, is that he is there to serve her and to live for her. And everything about that home and that marriage is about her. She rules. He serves. But is that what the Word of God teaches us? Oh, I understand the definition of love. He's supposed to love her. And I understand that that love requires him to nourish her and cherish her and cleave unto her. And I can go down the list, and I'm not shy to go down God's list of the responsibilities of a husband, of a man toward his wife. But wives, God didn't create you to be the head and leader of the home. God created you to be a helpmeet for your husband. One of the things I've pointed out before, I'm sure I'll point out again, when God created the first woman, what was the very first title He gave for her? Was it woman? Answer, no. God didn't even call her woman. Adam did. Was it wife? No. Although God did use that term for her later on, He said that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And that was God saying that. Because Jesus later said, He that created them at the beginning said unto them. So God Himself gave that statement. But the very first title or definition that God gave for the woman was, it's not good that man be alone. I will make him a woman for him. I will make him an equal for him. I will make him a wife for him. I will make him, what did God say? And help meet for him. That's God's created purpose for the wife. God's created purpose. That may not be society's viewpoint, but that's God's created purpose. And that's why God says in the New Testament on a number of occasions, you know them, don't you? In Ephesians chapter 5, to the wife, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 33, Ephesians 5, verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. In the relationship of the marriage between the wife and her husband, she walks in a submissive and reverential way. Her whole objective is to never do a single thing that is evil or harmful to her husband, but always, her whole lifetime through, do that which is good and helpful to her husband. Because she recognizes that's what God made her to be. And remember, this all flows out of the fact that she is a godly woman. I can tell you this after a handful of years of church ministry, after a handful of years of pastoral ministry, the women who willingly and righteously submit to their husbands are the women that do so because God said it. Follow what I said just now? Their motivation is, because how many of you, be straight with me. I'll let you raise your hand on this one. All right? You ready? How many of you women, how many wives would say, look, Pastor, there's just sometimes I just do not want to submit to that man. Go ahead. My wife, if she were sitting here, she'd be raising her hand. I'm telling you right now, I do not want to submit to that man. So what is the motive? Well, the truth, for that matter, you know, if I ask the question the other way, all right, men,
be honest. Now, this one's going to be harder because women are going to start crying on you, if you're not careful, right? But is there ever a time, so you don't have to raise your hand, guys, all right? This time I'll let you roll on this one. But is there ever a time you don't want to love your wife? I'll raise mine. She's not here to cry on me. Yeah, there's sometimes. I want to love me, not her. Oh, no, he's going to tell on me. There are times I want to love me, not her. Right? Well, let's be straight about it. We're self-centered that way. And wives, when you're being filled with self-centered, you say, I don't want to submit to that man. So what motivates you to do it anyway? If you do it, if you choose to do it anyway, sometimes maybe you don't because we're all tempted and sometimes we yield to sin. But if you choose to do it anyway, what motivates you to do it? Oh, I love him so much. That's why I do it. Uh-uh. Not in those moments. Oh, he makes me feel so good. I'm telling you, in those moments, those are not the feelings you have. He's such a nice guy. He's so cute. He provides for us so wonderfully well. Now look, all of those things are the things you say when you're praising your husband. But when in your heart it wells up and says, I do not want to submit to that man. All those nice things that the dating girl says about her guy, they're not on your mind. And if you choose to submit anyway, there's one reason you do it. Because you said, I want to be a godly woman. And that means God's word and God's will and God's walk and God's ways, because I want to be godly and virtuous, come first. And God said, submit and reverence. And that's why I do it. And that's also why the world looks at submissive women who reverence their husbands and says, I don't get it. Because you know the world doesn't understand God's way. Right? They don't get it. Because they're not motivated by an interest to walk with God. But a woman who is, a godly woman, will be a virtuous woman, will be a respectful woman toward her husband. Let me present to you number four. She will be a gracious woman. Proverbs chapter 11. If you're still in Proverbs 31, put a marker there. We're coming back. Proverbs chapter 11. A gracious woman. Proverbs 11 verse 16. The Word of God says, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Interesting to me, little side point here, interesting to me that when you view a man and you want to really view him as somebody, men and the mentality of men and the mentality of viewing men is that they need to be strong. But you know, when God comes looking at women, He doesn't say, what will really raise people's view of a woman is that she's strong. No. What will really raise people's view of a woman is that she is gracious. Now, some might say, well, I've already lost that one. I'm a klutz. Because my wife says that about herself. I'm not a gracious woman. I'm a klutzy woman. Now that's talking about just physical. This verse is not talking about that, right? This verse is talking about character. I'll give you three quick areas. Our time is running away from us. Is that new? She's gracious in her speech. If you're familiar with the verse in Colossians, let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt. Her speech. She's gracious in her giving. Turn with me. I said we'd be going back to Proverbs 31. So turn with me to Proverbs 31. Gracious in her speech, gracious in her giving.
Proverbs 31, two different verses here. First, Proverbs 31 and verse number 33. No, that's not where I want. Verse 26. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness, seasoned with salt, alway with grace. She's gracious in her giving. Look back to verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's gracious in her giving. And number three, she's gracious in her speech. She's gracious in her giving. She's gracious in her long suffering. Think of the verse in Ephesians chapter 4. That we are to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm using the word long-suffering to encompass that whole idea of being tender-hearted, long-suffering, patient, kind, forgiving. It encompasses the whole thing. She's gracious in these areas. Then finally, she's a prudent woman. A prudent woman. A godly woman. A virtuous woman. A respectful woman, specifically in a relationship with her husband, a gracious woman to everyone around her, and a prudent woman. Turn with me here, Proverbs 19, verse 14, our last verse. Proverbs 19 and verse number 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent life is from the Lord. A prudent life? A prudent wife makes for a prudent life. Yeah. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, I don't have verses to back all of these up per se. I'm sure that I could if we wanted to extend our study. But I'd present to you three areas I considered in the realm of prudent as well. She's prudent in her relationships. And there's so many things that could be brought out of that, right? Prudent in the way she communicates in her relationships. Prudent in what relationships she accepts and what relationships she won't accept. Are there relationships in the world? Okay, let's just talk differences between guys and girls, between men and women. Is it generally true that women are more driven towards social interactions than men? Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying men aren't interested in social interaction at all. But a guy can, you know, you say something, you're going to hang out with the guys. No, I'm going to go play hockey with the guys. Well, that's hanging out. No, it's not hanging out. It's trying to beat the living daylights out of the other team. That's what it is. All right. There's a different drive in men. But women just hang out for the sake of hanging out for hours. I don't get it. Yeah, what is window shopping? You going to buy windows? Is that what you're doing? Buying windows. We need new windows. But God has built men and women differently. And I'm not saying men aren't interested in social interaction at all. That's not true 100% across the board. But generally speaking, women are more interested in social things. But the devil knows that too. And you know one of the great areas where the devil will bring temptations into your life, ladies, to try to draw you away from God, draw you away from your husband, draw you away from your family, draw you away from your responsibilities, draw you away from what's right, is bringing relationships socially into your life. It doesn't even have to be a guy that's going to steal you away from your marriage. Any level of relationship or social interaction can draw you away from what God would have. Now, should men be warned about those things too? Most certainly. But it's really important here. A prudent woman is one that is prudent in her relationships. Some relationships you should just say no. Oh, that takes me back to the 80s. Those of you who were not growing up in the 80s, you missed it. Just say no. That was about drugs back then. And the egg in the pan. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. How many of you remember that? Yeah, okay. Ladies, think about this one. This is your life. This is your life involved in the wrong social relationship. Because God says it destroys. Oh, well, preacher, people don't have access to social relationships today like they used to. Well, actually, it's the other way around, isn't it? It's more prevalent because of social media and all those things. And all I'm saying is be prudent. Amen? A prudent woman. She's also prudent in her responsibilities. Ladies, is it easier to do what's fun or easier to do what's required? How many ladies like doing the laundry? How many ladies, I know there's a few of you out there, weird women. Strange, the Bible's term is strange women. Who like to clean. Now you're laughing, because you didn't know where I was going with that one, right? Like to vacuum? Yeah, she does it how many times a day? 15? 20? Yeah, everybody knows what I'm saying right now, right? Maybe not those who are going to listen to the recording, but you all know. Now, how many women like to do the dishes? How many women like to clean the toilet? How many women, like to fulfill responsibilities? How many remember back when you had babies? You enjoyed changing the diaper, right? No. You did, Beth? You're weird. So in Tim and Beth's house, they fought over who got to change the diaper. Oh, never mind. Beth liked it. Tim was happy for her to like it. Amen. But it's easier to do the things that you just enjoy or have fun or you can just relax or be lazy about than it is to fulfill the responsibilities, isn't it? Whatever the responsibilities are, I went through different things. Your list could be a completely different set of responsibilities than the list that I just listed off. But fulfilling responsibilities is easy to set aside. Any procrastinators in the room? Okay, I'll wait a little while. All right? Any procrastinators in the room? Yeah, there's probably some. It's easier to put it off and 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 put it off. And us men, we do that too. Because it's easier for us to do the fun thing than the responsibility thing. But a prudent woman in her responsibilities won't do it that way. She'll be organized with her time and with her money. She'll be careful. She'll be wise. She'll be prudent with her responsibilities. Prudent with her relationships. Prudent with her responsibilities. And then I would say that she's prudent with her material possessions. I tried to come up with another R word, but I just couldn't. If you can come up with one later, I'll get it listed down. And I know we could lump that under responsibilities, but I wanted to set it to another side, make it its own category with material possessions. And material possessions is not just money. Prudent with money, yes, but prudent also with the things that you do own. Prudent to know when not to beg to purchase. Husband, I really want. Husband says, we just don't have the money. I don't care, I want it. That's not really prudent. Prudent about the things we do own. They may not be the best of the best, but I'll take care of what God has given me. Amen? I'll take care of it like it was the best of the best. Because it's what God gave. I don't know all of your lives, and I don't know where you're prudent or where you're not. And boy, as I say some of these things, I'm watching husbands and wives looking at each other, and I'm thinking, boy, I got to be careful. What am I doing here? We're going to end up with divorce court next. Sunday evening service tonight. Marriage counseling. Patrick's preaching, so I'm good with that. It's his turn. But the fact is, by the way, guys, you should be prudent too. You know, the Bible talks about it. Bam! Oh, I knew that was coming. Amen. I knew that was coming. But everybody follow me. This is what God says is the wise woman. There is a classification that God gives, and it's God's classification. There is a consequence. You can't get away from it. It will happen in your home. No matter what, your character will affect your home. And then there is some characteristic traits that reveal to us how God would define the wise woman. We need to take those to heart. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the message of Your Word, and I thank You for the time we can have a little bit of fun. But in that, a truth that is serious from Your Word concerning our lives and our character. And Lord, I pray that You would help every woman, especially since that was the primary focus of the message, but the men as well. Some of these principles are very important for the men to glean, and that we all would learn to be wise in Your definition, wise in godliness, virtue, grace, respect in the appropriate places of respect for relationships, grace, and prudence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.